Good morning and welcome to the 8 o'clock hour of Byers & Company. We're 1 week from the 16th annual WSOY Community Food Drive. Preview that, plus Michelle Polino on the passing of Hugh Hefner, and more Brad Underwood tickets to give away, and Millennial Crime next.
Byers & Company, WSOY 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. President's Cup is underway, day two. Do you know what the President's Cup is? Anyone?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
What is it?
The yachting competition.
It's the America's Cup. But not,
oh, darn.
You don't know what it is either?
Nope.
What is wrong with you two?
It's a golf thing.
A golf thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
It is a golf thing. That is exactly right. It is the President's Cup. It takes place in the off years. The Ryder Cup is every other year, and so those off years, there is the President's Cup. It was started during President Bill Clinton's tenure because we take on the Europeans in the Ryder Cup. It used to be the United States versus Great Britain, and it really wasn't fair, so they had to throw in the rest of the Europeans. So Spain, Italy, all of that got thrown into the Europeans. But what do you do with New Zealand or South Africa or Canada? You know, none of those people get a play in the Ryder Cup. So now, basically, the President's Cup is the U.S. versus everyone who's not in Europe.
The rest of the world.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
And it happens every other year on the off years of the Ryder Cup. Now, in all fairness, the President's Cup is not nearly as prestigious as the Ryder Cup. It's only been around for 24 years, not, you know, forever. And so the international team, and the American team, by the way, took very early lead here. They played this in Korea. But it's here at home, and there were three former presidents there yesterday to kick it off. First time that's ever happened.
Okay.
And that's partly because, you know, our presidents are a little younger now when they come out of office. Mm-hmm. And they don't just, like, go to die right away like they used to.
Right.
So Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama were all there arm-in-arm, golf shirt to golf shirt to golf shirt, because nothing brings people together quite like a round of golf. They looked practically chummy yesterday.
Something they can actually agree upon.
Well, I think Clinton and Bush got very friendly.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
Remember the relief efforts they worked on together, and then and Bill Clinton worked with George H.W. Bush? I think they got the dirty little secret, you know, they wouldn't tell anybody on the Democrat campaign trail, you know, when Hillary was running. I think they're pretty tight.
Wouldn't surprise me.
And why wouldn't you be? Democrat or Republican, you're one of the handful of people still alive that have actually experienced that job.
Right.
I mean, wouldn't you have an awful lot in common, even if you come at things from a different political spectrum?
Right.
I mean, there's only how many people understand what that is like? Living? Five?
Right.
Because Carter's still here.
Mm-hmm.
George H.W. Bush, is, although his health has been, you know, declining, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there's only five human beings on the planet that are living that have been president of the United States of America.
Right.
So I would think you would have a lot in common or a lot to talk about or a lot to share or empathy for each other, having lived through that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you always got the feeling that Obama was smug enough to think he didn't need, I mean, you know, like that he would be the guy, yeah.
I don't need you guys. I got my own stuff.
But I would also believe after 8 years, he probably decided, I mean, I can't imagine that's what he had coming out of office, that attitude. Having lived it.
Right.
He probably now realizes a lot more than he did going in. He went in so young, you know, he probably understands exactly what the pressures, I mean, all the stuff that they had to deal with.
Right.
And so they were all there yesterday, and Phil Mickelson came, finished his round, and tried to take a selfie with him, but only got part of his face in the selfie.
That's a millennial crime.
He's not a millennial.
No.
He's a Gen Xer. So he He said, I'm terrible at selfies, but, you know, how could you not? And I think that would be the reaction, right? I mean, all these people saying we won't go to the White House because of Trump, or we won't go to the White House because of Clinton. Or we won't. I think that's crap. I think you run into three presidents on the golf course, you're pretty much in awe. Don't you think so? Your average person?
Yes, yes.
I would think so.
Or even your average athlete? So I bring this up solely to remind everybody that I'll be busy this weekend watching the President's Cup, because this stuff actually matters to me.
Okay.
Yet, in one of the United Kingdom, the UK papers today, they announced the world's most boring 30 games.
Wow.
And so it's like games and sport. You know, like some of them are sporting, like American football. Mm-hmm. But do you know what the number one, this is a poll of 2,000 people in the United Kingdom. They picked golf as the number one most boring game in all of the world.
That's saying something.
Okay, so let's think of one that's less. Or that's more boring.
Oh, are you being serious?
No. The only reason I say that is because I'm thinking to myself, okay, think of one more boring.
Curling.
That's the first one that popped into my head, yeah.
Now, come on now. Tell me since two or three Olympics ago, the last time you actually sought out to look at curling.
It's a giant puck with brooms.
I watched golf more than curling. Yes, but have you watched those broom guys?
Okay, no. Stupid
game. They go nuts.
They had golf as more boring than darts.
Okay.
It was the number one thing on the list. Now, I would suggest to you that the Open, as they call it, we've referred to it as the British Open, is like the oldest sporting tradition around.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
From their homeland.
Darts? Right. Really?
Darts. What would you... Now, I know that you would agree with them. That's why I brought this up.
No. Because I think about it, there's been times where you've been like, you got to see this. And it is very exciting.
The Open this year.
So, yeah, they're wrong.
Okay, well, these are 2,000. First of all, I'm going to get worked up about 2,000 people, which I think by
2,000 Brits, by the way.
Yeah, well, no, what does that mean?
I mean, I don't know.
No, wait. You said that. What does that mean?
I just don't think they have, I don't know. I mean, I know they...
And Scotland is the birthplace of golf. They created it.
Yeah. And they're dissing it.
Okay. And so were you at the very beginning of this thing. You said, and can you name something more
boring? Well, because I couldn't at the moment. But then you brought up darts.
Isn't half of the Olympics boring? In all honesty?
Yeah.
Not to the people who participate, not to the people who practice and all the hours. I don't mean to diss any of it, but I mean, isn't half the stuff you go, why are they skiing and then dropping
and
down
dropping,
and shooting things?
Yeah.
I mean, does that make more sense to you than the game of golf?
No.
Okay.
There's a lot of, yeah.
So when I look at the entire list, I think, you know, you got to be kidding. What is going on with this website? I don't understand why people can't get the digital world.
And there's a lot of pop-ups in there, is there?
Yeah. Why don't you prevent
videos?
As many obstacles as to me getting to your story, the content I've come to see?
I left it immediately.
I'm thinking about it, but it's the article that I'm talking about. So I was looking at the list of 30. And American football is, well, I'll go through the highlights with you if you don't mind.
Okay.
At number 30 is diving. Now, I remember a time when Greg Louganis was a big deal, you know, and people moderately paid attention to diving, right?
Yeah, I can watch it for a little while, though.
You can?
Yeah, but then after a while, I'm just like, I'm starting to try to figure out what the judges are looking at. I'm like, that dude just jumped from a skyscraper.
Okay, first of all, you're exaggerating. I don't understand the whole shower thing is what I don't get about
diving. I don't
either.
Yeah.
We're going to go over their tiny little Speedos, and we're going to readjust, and we're going to stand under the shower, and then we're going to have a very small towel.
Yes.
A tiny towel to dry off with. And everybody does the same thing. What is up with the shower and the tiny towel?
I don't know. And wrist wraps are bigger than their Speedos half the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do some amazing, like, quadruple flip and dive into the water, like...
I know.
Intense speeds, and the judge is like...
Okay,
I don't know.
All right, it's all cool. Of that given, all I can ever focus on is the little towels. I mean, why can't you have regular-sized towels? You just took a shower. I mean, can you imagine getting out of the shower and drying off with a washcloth? Because that's what they do in diving, and I've never understood that. Okay, hurling? I don't even know what hurling is. Is hurling like the throwing, like literally hurling something?
I'm not familiar.
Like the hammer throw or the... First of all, this is where we get into the Brit part.
Yeah.
is like what they call everything.
Yes, this is the sport where they spin around with the weight and then
Irish.
Throw it.
All right.
Throw in a brick.
Number 28, gymnastics. Number 27, superbike racing. Number 26, archery. Number 25, water polo. Water polo is better now that they have the cameras under the water. Technology's improved watching that game, but it is fairly boring. I don't even know what 10-pin bowling is versus other bowling. Netball, I looked up, is like kind of like basketball, but there's no backboard. It's also a British thing. Baseball at 22.
Fair enough.
Now, but I thought baseball would be probably, of the large American sports, would be much higher on the list. Fencing at 21. Boxing at 20. Tennis at 19. You're the home of Wimbledon.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think tennis is boring to watch.
It can be. When was the last time you watched a tennis match?
I don't remember.
Okay, then don't. Okay, I want you to
I don't watch anything.
I know. So how can you sit and say you have an opinion one way or another when you don't watch any of
them? So if I had to flip, if every single station had sports on it, and I had to pick one to watch.
Okay, that's
and that's what I'm taking.
Curling at 18, rugby at 17, American football at 16, horse racing at 15, ultimate frisbee at 14. I mean, they do say games, not sports.
I love Ultimate Frisbee.
But you would rather watch Ultimate Frisbee than the President's Cup.
No, I would rather play Ultimate Frisbee.
And it's not even close because it's... But this is the most boring, not...
To watch.
Right.
Formula One.
Oh, yeah.
Football, which would be their soccer.
Right.
At number 10. Darts at 8. Fishing at 7. Watching fishing, according to these Brits, is less interesting than the Ryder Cup.
These are some pretty interesting 2,000 people.
Dressage, that's the horse jumping stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Dancing, yeah.
Snooker.
What is that?
That's their pool, right?
Type of pool, yeah.
Yeah, chess at 4, bridge at 3, cricket at 2, and golf. You know what didn't make the list? Australian rules football. Mm-hmm. With the guys with the little raincoats, which is just as goofy as the little towel with the divers.
Right.
Golf. That's an insult.
Chess?
Yes.
It's less boring?
Yes, by far. It's 3 down the list at number 4. So I'd rather watch 2 guys play chess.
Or just stare at each other for an hour before they make a move.
Good thing NASCAR doesn't exist in Europe.
Oh, they would never get that.
They would never. What?
Yeah, they would never
Constant
get that.
Left turns. What?
I'm going to watch the President's Cup this weekend just in protest of these folks. Did you see the millennial crime story today here? This made me laugh out loud.
I'm just thinking. I mean,
to me, it's a perfect millennial story because it's about young and dumb. Three robbers in Decatur. This is according to Tony Reed in the Herald Review today. Held up a Decatur man at gunpoint. Nothing funny about that. Outside his home Wednesday night. They stole his wallet and his car keys, but apparently they couldn't steal the car because they didn't know how to drive a stick.
Yeah. That is funny. That is
There's
hilarious.
Nothing funny about a person being held up at gunpoint.
No.
And I'm glad the guy is okay.
Right.
And evidently they even left the keys behind. But while they were struggling to figure out how to drive a stick shift, the 69-year-old robbery victim fled on foot to a business and called the police. You wonder. I wonder. Given... Set aside the fact that they're criminals, how some of these people are going to survive on Earth. Because if the grid goes down, some of these big bad ganger banger wannabes are the first. They're toast. You're going to rob a man at gunpoint, but you can't steal his car because you can't figure out how to drive a stick shift.
You know, I am fascinated because the kids are not learning that at all.
Why?
You ask any of our other employees. I guarantee you it's a very small number.
You've
got to
be kidding me.
No, I believe, I bet you she's right.
Why is that? Don't they ever want to own a Porsche? I mean, don't they ever want to be successful
in
life?
Now, even luxury cars like that and fast cars, they do. They'll have the Triptronics where you basically just, or whatever the heck that's called, where you literally don't have to actually shift. It's ridiculous.
Okay.
No, they're not learning.
Or the type of automatic transmission that you can shift it, but you don't have to work a clutch.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
that's the one you can do with your
hands. That's where they get screwed up.
Well,
they probably looked at that thing.
I think
there's
it's
an extra pedal in here.
Just another sign.
I think it's what separates us.
I think it does too. I think our survivor skills. You know, obviously Tim Kaine threw in the towel for the baby boomers.
Oh, yeah, turn it over to them.
There we go, the Gen Xers.
Until there's a five-speed.
And then we're going to turn it over to the millennials, but we'll be down here while you're trying to figure out how to drive that car.
Gen Xers, we can drive a stick.
Yes, we can.
God, that's funny.
I'm glad the guy's okay.
I am too.
He literally escapes. And you can just picture it in your head, right?
Oh, yeah. I got a little movie rolling right
now. I do, too. Morons. We'll take a quick break. We'll get back here. Michelle Pollino. It was interesting to see all the celebrities weigh in, particularly the women weigh in yesterday on the passing of Hugh Hefner, and we'll get to that. Plus, a little later today, we'll give away some more tickets to see Brad Underwood a week from Sunday at the Hickory Point Golf Club, presented by Miller Lite and the Decatur Park District. The new Illini coach will be in town. Tickets are free, but you have to have a ticket. Get a chance to get a meeting, get an autograph, get a picture. It'll be a lot of fun. And then don't forget, we are literally 1 week away from the WSOY Community Food Drive, starting at 6 a.m. 1 week from today at Kroger, 6 to 6. We'll be kicking the week off at the Northeast Community Fund on Monday. We'll be at the Community Leaders Breakfast on Thursday, and at the Kroger on U.S. 36 for the food drive on Friday. 1.5 million pounds is this year's goal. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after the break. Here is Lindsay Romano with your WSOY three-day forecast.
Today we got sunny skies, highs near 77 degrees. Tonight, clear, lows around 46. Saturday, sunshine, highs near 71. And Sunday, mostly sunny, highs near 75. Right now, it's 53 degrees in downtown Decatur.
We are the Fighting Illini. Always have been, always will be. In every story, the choice is fight or flight. But we don't choose our destiny. We will always fight. We will always be the Fighting Illini. Hail to the orange. Secure your seats for Fighting Illini football today by phone at 1-866-ILLINI1 or online at fightingillini.com.
Real people, steel people. Professionals trust steel for dependability on the job. Homeowners trust steel for long-lasting value. And they both trust the knowledge and support of their servicing steel dealer. Right now, get the powerful MS-250 chainsaw at a special price, just $299.95. Real people, steel people. Find your steel dealer at steeldealers.com or search STIHL. All prices MSRP. Offer valid through October 15, 2017 at participating steel dealers while supplies last. See dealer for details.
Rainstorm Car Wash supports the WSOY Community Food Drive. Coming up October 6th at Kroger on Route 36 from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Every year, Rainstorm Car Wash donates to the food drive. Mark your calendars and give back to your community. Drop off your donation at either Rainstorm Car Wash location, Martin Luther King Drive, or next to Walmart off 121 in the Mount Zion area. Or come out to Kroger Friday, October 6th for the WSOY Community Food Drive.
Make it Millican and register for a campus visit day on October 9th. At the visit day, you'll tour campus and see the new $31 million University Commons. You'll also learn about academic offerings, athletics, and scholarship opportunities. Did you know all students who apply and are admitted to Millican automatically receive a scholarship of up to $20,000? Find out how Millican University can make college an affordable reality. Make it Millican and attend a campus visit day on October 9th. Register at millican.edu/visit.
You're listening to Byers & Company, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Friday, good morning and welcome. Michelle Pollino joins us live from Hollywood, part of our Fox News All-Star team. Michelle, I got to tell you, Hugh Hefner was one of those icons in my lifetime, certainly, but also a polarizing figure, as progressive as he was. I mean, he was early on for gay rights, you know, back to 1954, which, you know, hard to find a public figure doing that then. Yet the claims of objectifying women and all of this, they always kind of made for an interesting mix of things when you think about it.
I think he was a multidimensional human, and I think people forget that that's kind of who we are.
We all are, right?
One way.
I know. We do too much of that, don't we?
I think we do. I think we get stuck in our own kind of idea of how we're supposed to be, and there's people like him that come out and really break the mold. I really honestly believe that.
Yeah.
I think he was who he was, and he was unabashed about it, you know?
He was definitely
the kind of guy that said, you know, where I go is my own road.
That's exactly right.
I'm gonna literally kick up some dust.
Yes, and he certainly did that, and he lived a life. I was trying to think about the American landscape, somebody that would be similar, and the only name I can come up with is Frank Sinatra, just because they both lived these really long, rich, full lives of kind of doing it their way. And yet the celebrities have come out, you know, Jesse Jackson, Larry King, you know, Playboy models. People, I think, get caught up in the nudity of Playboy and they don't remember all the things he stood for. And you really, you know, in my opinion, this may be controversial. I think the world's a better place because Hugh Hefner lived in it.
I was one of those women who, and I'm all about women's rights, and I do consider myself a feminist, whether you like that or not. But I do. But I loved Hef. I thought he gave women a choice. You could do this, or you could not. Doesn't matter. It's up to you. You know. His advocacy for gay rights and civil rights was amazing. And he did change the landscape of. The visual landscape,
yes.
for adults. He changed it. Well, and many people say, you know, I mean, online porn is really, it's incredibly horrific, the amount of it. It's kind of like the one thing that many people go to, and many people say it was because of him You know, it's up to the individual to make the choice.
I think that just the amount of porn is just evidence of how hypocritical people are when it comes to this discussion.
Right? There you go. That's a perfect statement. That's what I mean. You know, when I am as an American and I have the choice to make, either be an upstanding individual or sit there and yell about something and then go behind closed doors.
That's exactly right. But I think about this. You know, I've been doing this job for 21 years. And 21 years ago, my feeling on gay marriage is the exact same feeling as it is today, that it ought to be just a way of life and it shouldn't be anybody's business or a big deal at all. I can't. And that was controversial in 1996. I mean, you know, that was people calling for my job. And things have certainly changed in 2017. But can you imagine in 1954 what it was like to be public like that?
No. The guy had guts. And whether you like him or hate him, you know, you got to admire. It's the same thing with the president. You know, and this is something 10 years from now, 15, 20 years from now, people are going to remember Trump. They're not going to remember anything else.
No, that's
right. They will remember this man because of the guts that he has for just literally kicking up dust and doing things his way.
And it's something very American about that. So.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, to me, that's what being American is about. It's about being John Wayne. It's about, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like that stuff.
And I think most Americans still do.
That's something for me that says, I'm proud of that.
No doubt. Michelle Pollino, we appreciate it. Thank you. Live from Hollywood. She's exactly right. And that's what most Americans like. I mean, you may not like everything he says or everything Hugh Hefner stood for, but we like mavericks. We like people that go against the grain because in our very souls, that's what we want to do. Just too many are cowardly to do it, so we love the ones who do. We'll take a break for the news. Back with more after this.
WSOY News Time is 8:29. Good morning, Jeff Daly in the newsroom. The Decatur Police Department will partner with Project Ava this Halloween season for the third annual Halloween Boutique Program by being a collection site for new or gently used Halloween costumes. Project Ava wants to help by bringing back their Halloween boutique. Now through October 20th, they're collecting new and gently used costumes, size toddler through youth, size large, at the police department and at Giggles on Merchant Street. The costumes will be collected and dropped off at local schools, early childhood and parent education centers, and food pantries that have been identified as having a need. If you want to donate a costume, Decatur Police Department has a collection box available in the front lobby from 8 a.m. until 4 p.m. daily, Monday through Friday. They're at 707 West Southside Drive, of course, Indicator. Giggles also accepting donations between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday through Friday and 10 to 4 on Saturday. More news on the way after Fox News covers the world on WSOY Decatur. It's 8:30.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. President Trump selling a Republican tax plan this morning in a speech to the National Association of Manufacturers in D.C., Democrats in Congress say the plan's good for the rich and bad for the federal deficit. The president's budget director, Mick Mulvaney, says
we are reaching across the aisle to see if there's folks who are reasonable, who want to talk about what's good for the actual American economy and American families.
He was on Fox and Friends. President Trump tweets in defense of the administration's hurricane response. Puerto Rico Governor Ricardo Rossello just stated the administration and the president, every time we've spoken, they've delivered. This woman tells Fox,
people are fighting for water. They're fighting for diapers, for Pampers, for anything they can find. We don't have water, running water. We don't have electricity. Honestly, there hasn't been any help coming for us.
Acting Homeland Security Secretary Elaine Duke visits Puerto Rico today. Fox News, we report, you decide.
WSOY News Time is 8:31. Governor Bruce Honor is pleased that the U.S. Supreme Court will decide whether non-union state employees must pay fair share fees to cover bargaining costs. The High Court announced yesterday it will hear an Illinois case by Mark Janis. The child support specialist says that forcing him to pay union fees violates his First Amendment rights. The defendant in the case is the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, Council 31. Republican Governor Bruce Rauner says employees should not be forced to give up a portion of their pay each month to fund public sector union activity. Rauner says his 2015 executive order prohibiting state agency fair share collection set the Janus case in motion. An AFSCME statement calls the case a plan to rig the economic rules against everyday working people. Sports last night saw the Cardinals being eliminated from postseason play by the Cubs. They lost in 11 innings 2-1 last night. The White Sox, meanwhile, rallied, and they beat the Los Angeles Angels 5-4. And it was Thursday Night Football, I should say. It was the Packers over the Bears, 35-14. Tonight on WSOY, Fighting Illini Football as they take on Nebraska. We'll have that pregame for you starting at 6, kickoff at 7. And then over on our sister station, 95Q, we'll have St. Teresa Bulldog Football as they are in Central A&M to take on the Raiders. We'll have that for you with a pregame at 6:30, kickoff at 7. And you can also catch that on the stream at Now Decatur.com. Your next news update comes your way at the top of the hour. Breaking news when it happens. I'm Jeff Daly in the WSOY newsroom for Neuhoff Media, media made locally.
1.5 million pounds of food. That is the goal for this year's WSOY Community Food Drive, October 6th at Kroger on Route 36 from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And we need your help. It's our biggest goal yet, but the Decatur community is a generous one. And on October 6th, we're asking your generosity continue so that we can reach an even bigger goal, that no family in our community goes hungry. So stop by Kroger on Friday, October 6th, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. to make your donation. A phone line will be provided during the food drive to take phone donations, or you can give online by going to the food drive page on nowdecatur.com. No amount is too small. And thanks to our community partners, we will once again be offering cash prizes to the local schools who raise the most pounds for our food drive. So join us and give to the 16th annual WSOY Community Food Drive on October 6th at Kroger on Route 36 from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and help us reach our 1.5 million pound goal and make a difference in our community.
Here is Lindsay Romano with your WSOY 3-day forecast.
Today, sunny skies, highs near 77. Tonight, clear and lows around 46. For your Saturday, sunshine, highs near 71. Sunday, mostly sunny, highs near 75. Right now, it is 55 degrees in downtown Decatur.
You're listening to Buyers & Company, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Stay tuned for more ticket giveaways for the Brad Underwood Show, brought to you by Miller Lite and the Decatur Park District, coming up a week from Sunday at the Hickory Point Golf Club. All right, now it's time to head to Benjamin F. Edwards and Jamie Bruner, who is standing by. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning. The Dow closed up 40 points on Thursday to 22,381. The S&P finished at a new record high, as did the Russell 2000 index of small cap stocks for a second straight session. In economic news, second quarter gross domestic product rose 3.1%, slightly higher than the prior estimate of 3%. Stronger business spending contributed to the upward revision. Weekly initial jobless claims rose by 12,000, and this was less than expected. The European markets were higher higher today, with the London FTSE up 0.6 and the DAX in Frankfurt up 0.35%. The Nikkei in Tokyo was down 0.03%. The 10-year U.S. Treasury note was down 1/32nd, yielding 2.310%. Gold futures were up $1.30 at $1,290 even. Crude oil futures were down 12 cents at $51.44 a barrel. The Dow is finishing up the week at 22,353 and negative 28 points. ADM at 42.62, Ameren 58.16, Caterpillar 125.11, Norfolk Southern 132.64, PPG 109.23, Tate & Lyle 35.27, and Mueller Water 12.87. And I close with George Eliot's words of wisdom. Keep true. Never be ashamed of doing right. Decide on what you think is right and stick to it. This is Jamie Bruner with Benjamin F. Edwards & Company, member FINRA and SIPC.
Thank you, Jamie. As always, we appreciate it. We'll check in with you for staying Monday morning live from the Northeast Community Fund. I want to thank J.L. Hubbard Insurance and Bonds. They buy that show every year in our auction and then donate it back to help us preview the food drive. We'll be there at Northeast for the very first time. Took a tour with Regan and Regan Deering and Jerry Pels 2 weeks ago. Or maybe it was last week. 2 weeks ago, we were in Martha's Vineyard. Last Friday. God, it seems like a year and a half ago.
I don't know.
Anyway, it's pretty amazing. It's just, whenever I see that ground level stuff, it's just, you're amazed that people do, you know, the people that do this. The dedication they have to have.
The commitment.
Yeah.
Yep.
All you got to do is support and give to the cause. 1.5 million pounds. Nine different pantries we helped last year. Plus, we're adding the Cops and Gobblers this year, which is a brand new event. And the Judy Mason Thanksgiving Basket Project. Not a pantry, but certainly a food service. So it's going to be a great fun. Now, speaking of Martha's Vineyard, I saw some really fattening-looking cookies back there in your studio.
And I ate one. I ate one.
Did you really?
I did. The whole thing.
You have no self-control.
I have none. And I'm pretty sure there was, like, lots of butter in that.
You're pretty sure?
I know there was.
There was an inch and a half of icing on it.
Yes, and the cookie, it's a sugar cookie, so the cookie itself was like kind of flaky, still kind of soft and chewy at the
same time. See, that's all I need. It's your description of it.
It was honestly
describing
delicious.
That. It's a little creepy.
But they're adorable, and I felt bad even eating one, so I had to take a picture of it before I ate it.
It's a little.
It's like there's a whale, and then there's these little.
Now, can you explain the context of what we're talking about?
Yes, when we were in
New
England.
You've done a great job describing the cookie.
Yes, Ron and Becky Otto, who
were with us on our trip.
Yes. Well, she had bought cookie cutters in New England while she was there. So she thought she would make us some cookies with the cookie cutters from New England.
How sweet was that?
So they're, one of them are the little Cape Cod cottages, and then there's also ones that are whales. So she made cookies that are shaped of whales and little cottages.
It's like my Vineyard Vine shirts I get at the Brass.
Yes.
A little whale right there.
That's exactly what it is.
Oh.
So.
Well, that's cool. Thank you to them.
And
that
they're
was
beautiful.
Nice.
They're beautifully decorated.
They were fun people. Everybody that goes on our trips are fun people. Best trips ever. Do we know where we are in Hawaii? Have we checked in with Linda Roberts lately?
I need to check in and find out if we have any space left.
Can you do that during the break?
Yeah.
Shoot her an email or a text or something?
Mm-hmm.
Because we had, I think, two rooms available, but this has been several weeks ago before we went on vacation. And our trip is coming up in January. We had a great time in New England. Really, just, I got to tell you, Jeff Daly, I'd spend more, I was wondering if I'd be annoyed because you think about the Northeast, right? And you think about,
yeah.
It's a different mindset, let's just say.
I would look at it more from the historical standpoint.
Well, but I'm saying my prejudgment was unwarranted because they were wonderful people. They just had a great, loved the accents. I really liked the people of Rhode Island. Rhode Island's got kind of that.
Oh, my.
Yeah?
Yeah.
A little roadie. Now, I mean, were there some snobs in Nantucket and Martha's Vineyard? You bet. And
I'm
in Boston?
Sure.
But the history was just absolutely amazing. So we will go back to a couple of those places to spend some extended time, for sure. Boston being one of them.
The last time I was there was as a kid in 1977, if that gives you an idea.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot has changed since then.
A little bit.
Yeah, just a smidge.
Yeah, just a tad. So we're going to Hawaii in January, and we had this great deal on this trip. There was another media group that was doing a trip at the same trip, same boat, and it was like $2,000-$3,000 more. I mean, it was insane.
That boat's going to be like thing. All Decatur people.
That's okay, though, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Sean, what happened to you? Hang loose, bro. What? What?
Nothing.
That's the surf sign, isn't it?
It's all good.
Is it one?
Hang loose.
Hang loose. Is that one pinky up and the thumb? Or is it both? Well, it's like a hook 'em horns. Now you're getting like you're in a different part of the country.
Yeah. No, it is. It's you're right. It's the pinky and the thumb.
Yeah, that's right. Because you get to two, you get the first finger and the pinky, then you got the hook 'em. You got the horns.
That's James the horns. Yeah.
Well, I was thinking more of the Texas football fans, but you know, go right ahead if you're going to write to 80s heavy metal.
Yeah, you know I do.
I think maybe the horns are the thumb down, with the two fingers out.
Right.
The hook 'em horns.
Right.
And then this is more. And then you do one finger wrong, and all of a sudden you're in a gang. So be careful when you're doing this out there.
Yeah, I think that we're close there, but you got to like
and hold it sideways.
Your index and middle
finger.
You do it
the wrong way, somebody could pop a cap in you. So be careful.
That's it right there.
That's all right. I'm getting away because I can drive a stick.
Huh?
Yeah.
I walk out to the front lobby. We got this story in the Herald Review today. Three dumb butts. At gunpoint, rob a 69-year-old guy yesterday of his wallet and his keys, and he gets away while they're trying to figure out how to drive his car off because it's a stick shift and they don't know how. Because the three of them have a collective IQ of 4. I walk out to the front desk, and Brett volunteers that he has no idea how to drive a stick shift.
See?
I'm telling you that I bet there's probably only out of our entire building maybe...
It's not like I grew up on a farm.
6 people, maybe.
How is this possible? I want to talk about the cursive debate when we get back, because this is what this reminds me of.
Yeah.
There's a... What?
I learned cursive, but I don't use it.
No, but there's this debate that there's people that want to bring it back.
Oh.
They want to... Well, Governor Rauner last week vetoed the bill requiring it to be taught in schools.
Requiring it to be taught in schools. Okay, now, I don't know where... This is one of those issues. Like, sometimes you hear an issue and you go, no, I'm against that or I'm for that. I don't really know. Are there really two legitimate sides to this argument? Because I find myself being a little bit like the old guys in the balcony and the Muppets, you know, when it comes to the kids not knowing how to do a damn thing and then whining about it. And the only comfort and solace I have is like, well, when the zombies do come, they're gone.
Yeah.
Is cursive necessary? We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. And it is, by the way, the Marquee Coffee Break. My favorite time of the show. Fresh roasting coffee locally in Decatur for over 30 years. Marquee Coffee, the official drink of choice for discernible coffee drinkers everywhere. The magic is in their beans.
Hi, this is George Struckvis from the Brass Horn in downtown Decatur. Seasons change and time marches on. But what will never change is the impeccable service you get from us at the Brass Horn. It's our 27th anniversary, and we're having a special 20% off sale. Brands like Vineyard Vines, Johnny O, Peter Millar, and more. Please join us this Friday and Saturday for the Peter Millar Trunk Show. 27 years may have come and gone, but just like when we started, we will always find the right fit at the Brass Horn.
Hey, it's Lindsay Romano. You've heard me talk a lot about Babbage Skincare's Medical Spa, their great staff, the services. I could go on and on. I just love it there. Well, they're having a cool sculpting event on Thursday, October 12th from 4:30 to 7 p.m. at Babbage Skincare on North Monroe. So save the date and lose the fat. Join Babbage and learn about the world's number one non-invasive fat removal treatment that freezes away treated fat cells for good without surgery or downtime. Call the medical spa at 330-7839. That's 330-7839. Or you can message them on Facebook. So mark your calendars for Thursday, October 12th. You can watch live demonstrations, receive special event pricing, and register to win a free treatment. If you haven't experienced all that Babbage has to offer, what are you waiting for? Visit them at Babbage Skincare's Medical Spa at 2880 North Monroe, at BabbageSkincare.com, or on Facebook. The only thing you have to lose is the fat.
Hi, this is JR from Speed Lube, and we know if you've got a diesel truck, you love it and want to take good care of it. And there is no better way than with Shell Rotella Motor Oil from Speed Lube. Whether you need T5 synthetic blend or T6 full synthetic oils for your truck, Speed Lube has you covered. And we will have you back on your way faster than anyone with no appointment necessary. And should your truck need more, we at Speed Lube can handle that too. But keep your diesel truck powering along at its best with Shell Rotella Motor Oil, and your next oil change is Speed Lube, with 6 Decatur area locations to serve you.
You're listening to Byers & Company, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Well, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome back to the program, the Friday, September 29th edition of Byers & Company. We're 1 week away from the 16th annual WSOY Community Food Drive. It's right around the corner. Hope you can be a part of it. All right, this cursive debate. Now, it's really easy to go, those damn kids. Has your writing skill, like your penmanship, deteriorated?
Yeah.
Mine has.
Very much so.
Because I don't do it very much. No. I mean, don't you think that's why?
Yeah, my hand hurts from writing like a paragraph.
Now, okay, that's a bit of an exaggeration.
No.
I was in meetings all day yesterday and took notes.
I mean, constant writing, like we used to do in school.
Right.
Yeah, you used to have a bump on the side of your, your middle finger. No?
No. But I still write with an eye pencil on my iPad. So technically, I'm still doing the same thing. It's just a digital version of it. I mean, it's an actual pen that you apply to the screen. And that's generally how I take notes. So I am still writing. It's just in a different way. But I write a lot less. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, you get a lot less mail. You get now a lot less email. You write a lot less. I mean, when was the last time you actually didn't use a calculator to do math?
Oh, never.
Right. I mean, so is cursive necessary? It's one of those things that I'm not sure Shakespeare's necessary, but I think we should keep handing it down.
I think kids should learn it, but I don't think they should be
forced
to use it.
When did they quit teaching it? It wasn't being forced to use it. It was the whole bill was to force them to teach it.
Oh, I know they still teach it in the parochial schools.
Okay, different story. First of all, that's a tiny population. I mean, that's not a pejorative. I mean, what they do is way off the charts compared to public schools.
Right.
But public schools is where 98% of the kids are.
Danilian handwriting, which is cursive, basically. Yeah. The basics. Little man did learn. He does how to do.
Okay, but where did he learn it? At school?
Yes, and I want to.
What grade?
I want to say they kind of started in first, second grade.
I want to think that going back a bunch of years, but I think my oldest did as well.
Okay, but is it necessary to teach it in today's day and age?
I don't think it's necessary, but I think it's one of those things that you should hand. Why do we even have it? To be honest, I mean, what's the history of it? It was just penmanship. Because I remember having practiced handwriting.
Penmanship, yeah.
Yeah, penmanship.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that.
But I'm trying to write cursive right now, and it's hard.
I have to ask little man how to write. I don't remember how to make a B.
How do you do a capital I?
It's a
little swirly and then an up.
You make like a sickle kind of thing, and then you swirl it.
I'm just telling you, if you're out there right now and you're of a certain age, let's say you're under the age of 60. Pull out a pen and paper and try to write something in cursive.
Uh-huh.
And I don't mean people who write letters all the time. I mean, if you don't normally spend a lot of time writing, I am struggling to remember how to do everything in cursive right now, which is crazy because I would have promised you. I would have bet a paycheck.
Do you remember how to
that make it would have been simple and easy to do.
Like, I can't remember
have
how
you?
To make a J.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
Make a Z.
Just write your name and your title with the company and the name of the company and do it in cursive.
Do I have to write it neatly?
Just do it. And I'm telling you, your mind's going to the trigger's not there.
It does it when I have to sign a check.
That's your signature. There's a whole difference in writing your name, which you've been signing for your entire life, than writing a paragraph or a letter or a card.
Right. Right.
Go ahead.
Do you remember how to make a Z?
No.
I didn't either. I mean, obviously, I know now because that's kind of required.
And I don't think my signature would ever be construed as cursive. You can't read it.
No, you can't read mine either.
And my entire life, it was more natural for me. In fact, I did just about everything printing.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
I print in capital.
Which my dad did.
Yes.
And I don't know that I got that from him or learned that from him, but it was more comfortable to print, and I had very neat printing.
What's funny is a lot of artists, and particularly in architecture and drafting and things like that, people that are creative, generally write in capital very neatly, like you do.
See, there's one of the many facets of my complicated personality.
My handwriting is terrible.
I can't even read mine. Did you do it?
Yeah.
And did it come out naturally?
No, it's difficult.
Right?
Yeah.
So a bunch of hypocrites telling these kids what they should be doing.
I honestly, there are times where I can't read anything.
Here's the thing. It doesn't matter how anyone's communicating with you, what language they're using, what they're printing, they're using cursive, they're using Martian, or they're speaking Star Trek. You got an app for it.
Right. I just had to electronically sign something 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And I typed it into the keyboard, and it typed it out as like a signature.
There you go.
And I was like, really?
There you have it.
Yeah, I had that the other day, too.
So how about this? To all you nimrods over in Springfield trying to pass legislation, why don't we just make sure kids graduate and have the skill sets they actually need to be gainfully employed?
There's an idea.
You know,
let's focus on that.
Let's require them to teach kids how to drive a stick shift.
Hey, or that. And you know what? If you're going to craft legislation, it better be in cursive.
Yes.
There you go.
Well, they don't actually craft it.
Instead of maybe that's the way we get them to like actually read legislation they're voting on. They have to go to the blackboard and like do it in cursive, the whole bill.
Let's make them do it even more old school, where the F represents an S when you read it. Like if you read the Constitution,
yeah,
or the Declaration of Independence,
yeah,
yeah. Back in the day, it was written as an F, but it pronounced as an S.
Say what?
Yep. Go look it up.
See, we got rid of that, so we can get rid of cursive.
Okay. I'm with you. I'll make the lawmakers do this stuff.
We got rid of stockades, too. Maybe
we quit burning people at the stake. Mm-hmm. We stopped a lot of things that were traditional.
Throwing cabbages at guys in stockades.
All right, we've got to take a quick break. Back with more and thoughts from City Councilman Pat McDaniel on the kneeling thing. Why in the world does a sitting city council member feel the need to weigh in on this publicly?
That's what I was thinking. What?
I mean, what do you gain out of this? I mean, I'm sure he feels this way. I mean, I have no doubt that it's genuine the way he feels. But, I mean, are you over a school or a sporting team?
This
is
somebody that needs to actually get a Facebook page.
Yeah.
I mean, this is where that belongs.
He doesn't have one?
I don't know. Okay. I'm just assuming, since he's emailing it to everyone, that he doesn't.
It takes a certain amount of ego to, like, type this up and go, here are my thoughts, and send it out to the press. Was anyone asking for this? I can't wait till Councilman McDaniel weighs in on this.
It just showed up.
We'll tell you about it on the other side of the break. Here's Lindsay Romano with your three-day forecast.
Sunny skies, highs near 77 degrees. Tonight, clear, lows around 46 degrees for your Saturday sunshine. Highs near 77, and Sunday, mostly sunny, highs near 75. Right now in downtown Decatur, it is 58 degrees.
With roots in agriculture, manufacturing, production, we've emerged as a global force. It's a transformation. Logistics services, food and ingredients, biotechnology, health and medical science. Innovation at its finest every single day. These careers are waiting for you. Visit careersdecatur.com. We are Decatur and Macon County, and we are limitless.
You've got to get to Decatur for Jackson Ford's Red Tag and Ready Sales event. Because their Red Tag and F-150 Focus Fusion, 600 total vehicles. Deeper discounts? Grab the Red Tag. 0%? Just grab the Red Tag. Top tier trade cash? You know what to do. They compete and will beat any other dealer on a new Ford. Plus at JacksonCars.com, you can get credit approved and set your monthly payment. Upside down on your old car? No worries. They'll take it anyway. Now's the time to get deeper discounts, 0%, and top tier trade cash. All you have to do is grab the tag. 600 cars, trucks, and SUVs at incredible Red Tag deals. But it's this month only. Hurry to Deal Country and Decatur, because Jackson Ford's Red Tagged and ready for you. Jackson Ford, 455 East Pershing Road in Decatur, and at JacksonCars.com on select models with approved credit. Negative equity added a new contract based on combined inventory.
Jackson Ford of Decatur, everything you're looking for.
In Decatur and at JacksonCars.com.
Miller Lite, the Decatur Park District, and Newhoff Media welcome new Illini basketball coach Brad Underwood to Decatur, Sunday, October 8th. It's a special edition of Sport Talk live from the Hickory Point Golf Club. Listen to secure your free tickets to this exclusive Illini fan experience. Get an opportunity to meet the coach, get autographs, and ask questions in an intimate setting. It's a very special edition of Sport Talk, October 8th, with Illini basketball coach Brad Underwood. Brought to you by Miller Lite, the Decatur Park District, ESPN Decatur, WSOY, and NowDecatur.com.
You're listening to Byers and Company, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
I was waiting to hear the rest of that song.
Yeah.
I'm a big Steve McQueen fan. And I always loved her voice. What happened to Sheryl Crow?
I don't know.
Kind of. All right, so we got an email this morning sent out to the press from Councilman Pat McDaniel, who is a war veteran, Vietnam War veteran, weighing in on the kneeling, during the playing of the national anthem. Now, most of us were waiting to put a cap on this story after a long week, in breathless anticipation to get Councilman McDaniel's view on this, because he's, oh, wait a minute, doesn't actually have any sporting teams or sporting events under his auspice. But he is the liquor commissioner. I don't necessarily even disagree with his remarks. It's just, what about some people just have to be in the attention thing? I mean, did anyone really, I mean, has anyone shown up at a council meeting and asked their opinions about what the Packers are doing?
I don't think so, but I really do think this is like probably meeting, getting this going, like, this is something normally you'd see on their Facebook page.
Subject: my thoughts on kneeling during the playing of the national anthem.
We call that a post.
Would it be more appropriate for those Americans who feel the need to kneel during the playing of the national anthem at football games and other public events to kneel at the grave sites of the thousands of U.S. military soldiers who paid the ultimate sacrifice following the American flag into military battles around the world and our country's long military armed forces history in defending the American freedoms that we all cherish today, and gives those same Americans the right to kneel during the playing of the national anthem? That's this in history, the longest sentence ever sent out by anyone in the history of the world. That is one sentence. And it really isn't a statement. He's asking a question. And it's sort of circular logic. If the military died to give those Americans the right to kneel, isn't then that their right to kneel?
Yes.
No, I mean, he sort of ends with it like missing his own point.
Right. Right. I read that, was kind of like,
isn't that a long sentence?
Yeah.
Can I read that sentence to you again? I don't think I did it justice.
You got to take a breath first.
It's a paragraph-long sentence.
Right.
Would it be more appropriate for those Americans who feel the need to kneel during the playing of the national anthem at football games and other public events to kneel at the gravesites of the thousands of U.S. military soldiers who paid the ultimate sacrifice following the American flag into military battles around the world in our country's long military armed forces history and defending the American freedoms that we all cherish today, that gives those same Americans the right to kneel during the playing of the national anthem? Take a
there
breath.
There was not a period in there?
That's a sentence.
Right.
Ah, de mi.
Yeah.
Certainly entitled to his opinion, because that's the same reason those military armed forces and men and women who bravely served give you that right to share that opinion.
That's exactly right.
I've been consistent in this debate all the way through, in that I'm all for everyone having free speech. Everyone. Colin Kaepernick, Donald Trump, Pat McDaniel. And yes, I picked those three in a particular order for a particular reason. I'm out of breath from that sentence.
Somebody get him some oxygen. Fast.
What would be the real-life equivalent for punctuation? I don't know. There's some sort of irony in all of that. Hey, we're going to be down at the Arts Council tonight for the VIP party for the big event, the Decatur Craft Beer Festival, Friday and Saturday in downtown Decatur. We'll see you there. And we'll be back in the studios. Actually, not. We'll be back at Northeast Community Fund Monday morning to kick off the Food Drive Week. Missed any of the show today? Podcasts are available on Facebook, our Now Decatur page, and the app, courtesy of Jurger Pediatric Dentistry, where beautiful smiles begin. We'll see you Monday.
Get a daily recap of the info you need to know now with the Now Decatur Refresh. Access to the day's top news stories, interviews, videos, and more directly to your inbox. Sign up at NowDecatur.com with WSOY Decatur.
8:59. Good morning, Jeff Daly in the WSOY newsroom. The WSOY Community Food Drive 1 week from today, and area schools are getting ready to donate their canned goods and other food items. This year, all of the schools say they're trying to bump up their efforts to raise more food for the drive. Amy Zahn Dungeon, principal of Eisenhower, said they have incorporated the food drive into their freshman orientation and had each freshman bring in two cans. This helped them to learn how to fill out their required service learning forms, as well as help the drive. Meanwhile, St. Patrick's principal, or St. Patrick's School,